What's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is Friday, September 23rd, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And, man, I'm excited about it. It is Praise Break Friday. Yeah, Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do on Praise Break Friday. On Praise Break Friday, we don't even ask no questions. We just do what we got to do. And then sometimes when the spirit moves in the right way up in this place, we just decide to just let it loose anytime we feel it. Amen. Let's just get it started.
You
want to right
now. You want to wait for a manifestation or something else to happen. What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with?
Yeah, just that quick. We just go right in. We don't have no restrictions, no nothing. We just go right on in. just come on in. Anyway, y'all, it's Praise Break Friday. Today's conversation is going to be good. 12 strange ways we pray. 12 strange ways we pray. That's the topic of today's conversation. 12 strange ways we pray. That's going to be good. Also, I will be giving you guys some updates on the Charlotte, North Carolina situation. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Tulsa situation. There have been some updates in that. Also, Mayor Rahm Emanuel released his plan for helping curb the violence here in the city of Chicago. We're going to definitely tear into that thing. I watched that whole press conference yesterday, and I have some thoughts on it. And hopefully you can share your thoughts as well. So I'm going to give you some time to press on in before we get into the conversation. Press on in. Y'all come on in the room. That's right. I see you coming on in on Ustream. Come on in. We're going to give you some time to do that. But let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening already, meaning you've already called in, you're listening on your phone, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. You can be a part of the show. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We'd love to have you be a part of the show that way. If you want to tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to have you be a part of the show that way as well. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read your email on the air. If you want to download the podcast of the show, you can download the podcast of the show. Simply go to iTunes, iTunes.com, iTunes on your iTunes account. Simply go to the podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will see us there. Hit the subscribe button, and you'll have access to all of the goodness that Taking the Limits Off has. You'll have access to all of that good stuff. Amen. Also, if you want to watch the live stream of the show, that's right, we are live. There's live simulcast going on right now. You can watch the live stream of the show. It's real simple to do. You can go to that same Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. You go right to that page, you'll see us. Ustream. Hey, how y'all doing on Ustream? Come on in the room. Come on. Now, I done told y'all, y'all got to be polite when you walk into the room. See, folks on Facebook come right on in, they speak, they say something, you know, and then they come on, and then if they feel like comment, y'all folk on Ustream, y'all just come in, y'all don't say nothing to nobody. Good, did y'all not get taught no kind of manners back in the day? What's really going on? The chat room is open. Let me say hello first. Maybe if I speak first, then y'all will speak back. Amen. That is. All right. Let's see what's going on here on the other side. So, yeah, Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. We'd love to have you be a part of the show that way as well. So, man, look, this is good. This is good stuff. Excited about what's going on and everything that's going on right now. I see y'all coming on in. Got the Happy Praise Break Friday. Thank you. Thank you, Yolanda. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We got folk coming on in on Ustream. I see you. Come on in. Come on in. All right. All right. All right. So much going on, man. So much going on. And it is Praise Break Friday. Man, you know what? Today is technically the first, I guess yesterday was fall, right? But today is, I guess, the first full day of autumn or whatever it is, as we call it, fall, autumn, or whatever. There is so much stuff going on, but the weather is actually nice. You know, and I'm going to tell y'all right now in Chicago, y'all better enjoy this short sleeve weather while you can. Enjoy this short sleeve weather while you can, because this weather is about to do some serious changes real quick. So, but you know what? I'm excited. You know why I'm excited that the weather's about to change, y'all? Because I got some fresh sweaters that's just been sitting back waiting for the fall. Oh, God. I've got some fresh sweaters that I've been waiting for the fall to take place. So I'm excited about that. Amen. Amen. God is awesome. Yes, he is. yes, I know. I know. Y'all pray for me. Y'all know I got, y'all know the boy got mind bad disease. Anyway. So look, real quick, let's talk about Chicago. Let's talk about Chicago. So on yesterday, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, released his plan for fighting, for helping curb the violence here in the city of Chicago. That's what he did. So he had this long press conference yesterday that lasted. Wasn't even really a press conference; it was more of an announcement, because I don't recall him taking any questions, but I kind of missed like the very end of it. But what I do know is that he put this plan out. One of the things that he announced was he's about to try to put 1,000 more police on the street. He's about to try to put 1,000 more police officers on the street, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing at all. But I myself, like others, said I had some thoughts. You know, where we can, if we're going to put all this money behind getting more police officers, where is also the funding for mentoring programs? Where is the funding for after school programs? Where is the funding for that? It would be great. It would be really great if all these different nonviolent campaigns that we have going through the city, if the city would put some funding behind it. And don't get me wrong. I know they got burned with the I'm trying to think of the organization. Man, it was on the tip of my tongue. There was an organization who was doing some stuff, and they had some improprieties. But, man, if you do your due diligence and you come out and you work with some of the organizations that are already out here and put some funding behind them so that they can so that they're not stretched and that they can go out into our communities and do more, you know, that would help curb the violence. That would actually help curb the violence. There's so many different areas where you could. I'm all for adding more police, but I can tell you this right now: you can put a police officer on every corner in every bad neighborhood in the city of Chicago, and if that's not addressing the problem, it's addressing some of the problem. You know, it's a cure for the aftermath, but it's not addressing the symptoms. You see what I'm saying? See, if someone eats really bad, right, and their cholesterol gets really, really high, and then it gets to a point where their arteries are clogged, and the doctor says, now I need to go in and unclog your stuff and fix you. I'm gonna fix this by doing this. But if you don't tell the patient what the problem was that caused it in the first place and how you avoid the problem, then what's going to happen is the problem is going to continue to repeat itself, or it's going to manifest itself in a different way. So I'm all for Chicago getting more police. I believe they're needed. But you can't address the aftermath of the issue, the crime itself, without first addressing the symptoms that cause the crime. So it's wonderful that, and again, the questions are being asked, where is the money going to come from? Where is the money coming from for all these police? And you know, I would ask the same question, and at the same time they find the money, to hire these new police officers in Chicago, they ought to take some money needs to be geared towards the preemptive groups. You know, if you could you imagine? I mean, I imagine groups like the group that I'm affiliated with, Stop the Violence group, that's out, Minister Jody Beatty's group that's always out on Central and Madison and every other little hot spot around the city of Chicago. But if you could infuse that group, you know, with some major money, where they could then create smaller versions of themselves, and then those people could be planted in different areas. Because it's great that we can take over the corner of Central Madison for one day on a Wednesday for a few hours. But what would happen if we had the resources where that same group could then multiply itself, and then it could be in hot spots? Because guess what? Central Madison, it's a good area to stand and be noticed and to talk to a lot of people. But then what if you could put another group, an auxiliary group, right here on Central and Lake or Pine and Lake? What if you could put another group, you know, down on some other areas in the city of Chicago, you know, like Cicero and Adams, those areas? If you can go even further back to Garfield, if you could spread those groups out. But it's hard to do that without resources. And yes, the city, if the city is going to go out and make room to get 1,000 more police officers on the street, wherever this funding is going to come from, I believe there ought to be some additional funding. There ought to be some additional funding that would help garner the support of these preemptive groups that go out and try to help with the violence here in the city of Chicago. So I think I listened to the plan. I'm encouraged by what I heard. I understand people have their feelings about Rahm Emanuel. I have my feelings about Rahm Emanuel as well. But at the end of the day, if he is able to put a viable plan in place, a plan that works, you know what? I don't care what your name is. If the plan works, the plan works. Okay? If the plan works, the plan works. And then we can deal with him on election day. In the meantime, we need to get a plan in place. But between now and the next two years we got to deal with him in office, then we need a plan in place. And we can't wait until the next mayoral candidate shows him or herself 2 years from now. Because 2 years from now, we could still be breaking more records for the highest murder rate in the country. We could be breaking more records 2 years from now. We don't want to be doing that. So and this city that we love so much, those of you watching on Facebook and Ustream, you know, y'all can see this thing behind me. This is the Chicago landscape that's behind me. We have the best one of the best views in all the country. But that's it's a tale of two cities, because see, unfortunately, that's not where the crimes are being committed. Those of you watching me on y'all can see this behind me. That lakefront area, that's not where the crimes are being committed. Those high rises and those office buildings and those condos and those hotels and all of those great businesses, that's not where the crimes are being committed. That's not where the crimes are being committed. Hello, how y'all? Who is that in there? Well, hello, Miss Galls. God bless you. I see you done popped on in on the Facebook. Amen. Bless the Lord. But you see that? That's not where the crimes are being committed. The crimes are being committed in the urban areas. And that's where we have to be. That's where we have to be. And we need to put some money back in those areas. So, again, if you haven't had a chance, go in, I think it's about 35, 40 minutes. Go and listen to his announcement if you didn't watch. If there is some good information. And here is another thing I would suggest, too. So this morning they showed Rahm Emanuel running with the police candidates, the current cadets, I should say, not candidates, the cadets. And he's done this before. It wasn't necessarily a Kodak moment for him to just get caught running with the police, but he was actually running with them, and he's done this before. Here is something that I want you guys to notice. And if you don't watch anything else, watch that video. in the video of him running, they were doing their normal laps. It was about 5:30 this morning. The cadets were out running. I think I saw one black cadet in the class he was running with this morning. I would encourage my young black brothers here in the city of Chicago, if you are able to, it may not be something that you had ever thought about before, but if you want a way to give back, I think you should look into the field of public servants. I think you should look into the field of serving, of possibly working for the Chicago Police Department. We need black men and black women on the police department to work in the urban areas. We need people who look like us to be working in our areas. I have been to the roll call. I was granted permission, or actually invited, by the current police commander here for the 15th District, Commander Betts, who's the commander here in the 15th District. He invited us, myself and some other people, to come to the roll call so that we could get familiar with the police in our area, so that we could get familiar with them. And what I saw was one thing that stuck out for me, and some other people noticed it too. The majority of the police officers in the 15th district that this church is in, that this Austin community is in, y'all ready for this? They're white. Now, don't get me wrong. Hey, they got a job. They went through the academy and they got hired. I got no beef with them. But here is where my issue comes. Where are the black men police officers? And then I actually talked to a couple of these guys. They don't live in the area. They don't live in this community. They come from way, some of them come from up north. Some of them come from Bridgeport. Some of them come from the far south side, the nicer parts of the south side of Chicago, you know? And I said, wow, but this is where they got transferred to. And then watch this. Here's the bad part about it. A friend of mine works for the Chicago Police Department. He says, once you get a certain amount of years behind you, you can transfer anywhere you want when an opening happens. And a lot of our people have transferred out. So we need to get some of us. We need to get folks who look like us back in our communities so that they have an understanding and an idea of what it's like to work in an urban environment. Because I don't know that the training, and this is a great comment, do you think the training of the police officers needs to be addressed? Absolutely. And this is going to segue into some other stuff. But I don't believe that our officers have been given, training. A lot of these guys, I've met with these guys. They don't live in the Austin community. So to them, it's a learning process. It's a learning process. And it's no slight to the white police officer. I'm talking about the training. But what I'm going to say is this. If we have a 1,000 police officer jobs that are about to become open, I'm going to need my young African-American men to make sure you do what you need to do and get on these police forces. Get on these police departments. That's the only way we're going to have real representation. That way you can then start to educate your fellow officer. Because here's the deal. A white officer who has never been in a black neighborhood graduates from the police academy and is then shipped to the 15th district, which is Austin, or the 11th district, which is East and West Garfield. So when he encounters a young man on the street who might not necessarily be a criminal, but he might just have a little west side and a little south side in him. And that little west side and little south side to someone who does not know could be taken the wrong way. Whereas someone from, quote unquote, the hood Huh? Someone who was born over here, who was raised over here, who went to school over here, could tell, hey, pardon, hey, man, it's cool. That's just how he talks. He ain't mean no harm. That's how he talks. Guess what? You end up with less arrest. You end up with less confrontation. And now you start building community. Now you start building relationship. That's what happens. But when you don't have anybody who can work with people, who can train them on you know what's the real attitude versus this is just how someone speaks. So we need to do that. It's part of what needs to be done. What's the question? It says, what do you think about the mayor's speech addressing black men? He has no idea what we go through. I feel he was out of line. Yeah. Yeah, he did make, and I'm trying to get back to the comment. I was reading it earlier. He made some stuff where he is the better word I can say for you, Lewis, and thank you for watching, brother. The better word I can say for you is he's disconnected. He's disconnected. He doesn't really have a good idea of the circumstances. So a lot of times when he speaks, he's speaking from a perspective of someone on the outside looking in. And part of that is because I believe, and I could be wrong, and y'all can help me out. I know I got some political people that watch every now and then and listen. I don't know if I've ever seen him actually come and actually sit and have some conversations. You know, if he came out, I know he came to the National Night Out. He came once to this side of town to do it, you know, and I know he's invited to the 5K thing. I don't know if he's coming or not, but there needs to be a time where he sits down and actually hears the concerns. He actually hears the concerns of the people, and it's easy to go to. Now, I've seen him. Don't get me wrong. I did see him in a church around here. But watch this. The people who were in the church, they were just pastors. There were no community leaders. There were no activists in the meeting with him. There were no activists in that meeting. He was at a meeting around the corner about a year ago. And now I'll give you the flip side, because we need to be able to sit down, Lewis, and I'm talking to you. We need to be able to sit down and have a conversation without people attacking people. You can't sit across from the table from the mayor of the city of Chicago or any other person who is in authority and be disrespectful. So when you sit down at the table, you need to be able to give and take. You can't sit there and walk in the room. First of all, you got a nasty look on your face, and then you want the first words out of your mouth is, "Mayor, you a lie. Mayor, you ain't did this. Mayor, you ain't did that." That's not dialogue. That's not dialogue. We have to be able to have dialogue with one another. Even when we disagree, there needs to be a dialogue. When you can have dialogue, anytime there's room for dialogue, there's room for agreement. But when you can't even sit down at the table and have a conversation like men, like people who care, like men and women, like people who care. It's amazing, and I'm a segue for a hot minute because of what happened in Tulsa and in Charlotte. You know that they've been rioting they've been having peaceful protests. Let me make sure I say this correct. They've been having peaceful protests in Chicago. I'm sorry, in North Carolina, but then they've also had violent protests in North Carolina. So there's this video that's going around on Facebook right now. There's this video that's going around on Facebook about this guy who gives hugs or something. And he flew to North Carolina to be a part of the peaceful protest. And he went up and made an attempt to hug the police officers as well as the protesters. And people from the crowd of protesters, this is a black man now, start calling him a punk. They called him a sissy. They called him all types of things because he reached out to both sides. And he turned around and said, "How do you gonna disrespect me? And I'm here representing you, but you don't want to have a dialogue. Because the conversations these protests keep saying is, if you take that badge off and your gun off, and then you'll know how I feel. No. See, that's not, first of all, don't put everybody in the same boat. We should stop putting everybody in the same boat. Because can we be honest? Can I talk to my black folk? I know I got some white folks who listen to the show, and thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate my Caucasian brethren and sisters. But can I talk to the brothers and sisters that's listening right now? You know some of us is real ignorant, right? Y'all know the truth. And see, I say this. Y'all can't call me racist because it is what it is. Some of us are real ignorant. And we got a way sometimes of saying some real ignorant stuff at the wrong time. And we have a way of offending people when not knowing how to have just basic dialogue. So if we invite you to the table to sit down, that means we sit down. And if we're at a table, just like this desk I'm sitting at right now, if someone was sitting on the other side, there's no need for me to yell. Because we can sit down and have a professional conversation. We can sit down and have a meaningful conversation. We can do that. But if you're sitting on the other end of the table, and I allow my passion to get so heated that now I got to stand up and now I got to flip over a chair and I got to sling some curse words at you and all that. What's going to get accomplished with that? You're going to walk out of the meeting and say, hey, I told the mayor to his face he was a punk. I told the mayor to his face he was a coward. And then what happened? And what did you get out of the deal? And that's the reason. And don't get me wrong. I'm not defending politicians. Not defending politicians. But that's the reason so many politicians don't want to meet with activist groups, because some of these activist groups don't want to come to the table with the mindset of let's come to some sort of agreement. Let's lay all of our cards on the table. Let's say what's actually happening. Let's come to the truth of the facts of what's real and what's not. Because see, a lot of times we come to the table with conspiracy theories. And see, conspiracy theories and truths are two different things. Don't get me wrong. A lot of conspiracy theories are wrapped in some form of the truth. But a lot of times when we sit down at the table, we need to come with facts. Talk about how there's still racial profiling and then bring facts about it. And then lay that on the table, and then both sides have to acknowledge the other person's mindset. You can't sit down if we both are not going to acknowledge, here is where I feel like I've been mistreated. And then you turn around and say, well, here is where I believe this situation can be handled. And then you just start it. Then the dialogue starts. But if one person is going to sit on the other end of the table and say, I ain't never did nothing, and y'all just blowing this out of proportion, then to me, now you're ignoring my feelings on the matter. And you're ignoring the feelings of the thousands of people that support the cause. Which then causes hard feelings, which then causes people to protest, which then causes people to feel like they're not being heard, which then causes people to activate groups, and then they show up, and all of a sudden now you got traffic blocked. We have to do a better job of having a meaningful dialogue, and everybody ain't gonna get to see the mayor. Everybody's not going to get to see the mayor, but you can go to your alderman's office. You start at the local. You start at the local, at the most meaningful level first. Y'all want to complain about what's going on in the Austin neighborhood? You want to complain about what's going on in Garfield and in the East and West Garfield areas? You don't go protest in front of protest in front of Rahm Emanuel's door. I know the look. I understand that. I've been through the training. I know the whole protest, and you stand out in front of the door with signs and all of that mess. At the end of the day, you're not accomplishing nothing. But you know what? You know where you go? Alderman Emma Mitz. You show up at her front door. See, you don't go to the mayor. So you go to the ones that talk to the man. Because see, you and I ain't gonna never actually it's a greater than 70% chance that you and I will never be in the same room with the mayor. But guess what? You and I can get in the same room with Alderman Emma Mitz. You and I can get in the same room with Alderman Jason Irvin. You and I can get in the same room with Alderman Chris Telefair. We can get in the room with those three who are the aldermen in these areas. We can get in the room with them, and they will hear our voice. And then they can take those of us who are leading the fight for change. They can get us a seat at the table. Come on, somebody. Then they'll get us a seat at the table to have the same open dialogue. But you can't go bulldozing your way into that. I understand that the anger. I understand the sadness. I understand the disappointment. But you can't go bulldozing your way into this thing. So that's it. So, you know, go check it out. Go check it out. I thought it was something you guys should check out. I just think it's something. It's worthwhile. It's worth your efforts to take a peek at it, to see what's really happening here in the city. Look, y'all, I'm going to take a real quick break, right? Real quick break. I promise you it's going to be real quick. I'm going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into some more conversation. We're going to talk about Tulsa real quick, right? We're going to talk about Tulsa and let y'all know what's going on down there, the most recent update with Tulsa. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're back. We're back. We're back. So, look, you all, on yesterday, they made the announcement. The officer in the shooting death in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has been charged with first-degree manslaughter. It says here, I'm reading straight from CNN. This was updated as of 3:45 this morning. Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer Betty Shelby has been charged with felony manslaughter in the first degree. Tulsa District Attorney Steve Kunzweller told reporters on Thursday. Shelby fatally shot 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher after his SUV stopped in the roadway last week. This is what the district attorney said. He says, we reviewed the facts of the allegations. It is our responsibility to determine if the filing of a criminal charge is justified under the law. He says, an arrest warrant was issued for Shelby and arrangements have been made for her surrender. He said it was not clear when she would turn herself in. I just have a problem right there, but I'm going to finish reading, but I'm going to talk about, I just got a problem in my spirit. He says the criminal complaint against Shelby said her fear resulted in unreasonable actions which led her to shooting Crutcher. She is accused of unlawfully and unnecessarily shooting Crutcher after he did not comply with her lawful orders. Attorneys for Crutcher's family said they were happy charges have been brought against the officer, and they will be seeking a vigorous prosecution of this case that results in a conviction. The attorneys also expressed gratitude to the Tulsa Police Department. This is from the family. It said, today we're thankful to TPD. We are thankful to Police Chief Chuck Jordan for providing information to the district attorney's office, and we're happy that charges were brought, attorney DeMario Solomon Simmons said during a news conference. This is a small victory, Crutcher's twin sister Tiffany told reporters. The chain breaks here, she says. The chain breaks here. We're going to break the chains of police brutality, she added. We know the history. The possible penalty for conviction on first-degree manslaughter in Oklahoma is 4 years to life. 4 years to life, according to Susan Witt, the public information officer for the district attorney's office. Governor Mary Fallon issued a statement saying she prays that the decision to charge Shelby brings some peace to the Crutcher family and peace of Tulsa. She urged people to remain patient as the case grows forward. So I'm just going to move on. That's it. Here's where my feeling went left on the conversation on the report. Here's where my feeling went left on the report. It says arrangements had been made for her surrender. He said it was not clear when she would turn herself in. See, the article was real good until it got to that point. I felt that the wheels of justice had already started spinning, and they were going well right up until it hit the brakes when it says the warrant was issued and arrangements have been made for her surrender, but it's not clear when she would turn herself in. Let me say this. As a person who has had some dealings with the police department or with law enforcement on both the local and federal level, let me say this. When a warrant is issued, it is served. Can I say that again? When a warrant is issued, it is served. Meaning, if I have a warrant for your arrest, once the judge signs it, it is served. Now, I understand giving some concession, but let me say this again. When a warrant is issued, it is served. Now, the warrant was issued on yesterday. I'm hoping that on tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, we're not still waiting for Officer Shelby to turn herself in. I'm hoping that's not the case. Because, see, what needs to happen is optics matter. I've used this word the last several days. Optics, O-P-T-I-C-S. Optics matter. And when optics are askew, when optics aren't clear, when it looks like something extra is being done, it's going to cause a problem. So if in the case of an arrest warrant being issued, then arresting officers, detectives, whoever they are, should be at Miss Shelby's door, asking Miss Shelby to come on out, or her lawyer should be bringing her to the police department to turn herself in. Either way, the warrant was issued on yesterday, and I don't believe she should still be chilling for the weekend or getting the opportunity to spend the weekend with her children if she has them. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know. I know she's married, but I'm just saying, I don't believe you get the option to spend time after you wrongfully killed an individual and they've issued a warrant for your arrest because they want to hold you accountable. I think your behind ought to be somewhere locked up. Now, if they choose to if they ask for bail and if she asks for bail, or if they don't give her any bail, then her bail ought to be just as high as the bail of anybody else who has ever committed first degree manslaughter. That's just my thought, because the optics matter on this thing. It matters. The perception is going to matter at the end of the day. We cannot have it perceived that she's going to get some sort of special treatment. That cannot be the perception. It cannot be. Because if that's the perception, and then God forbid she is found not guilty. Because then people are going to say they're already giving her a special treatment. The only special treatment she should get if she is held over for trial and she's not allowed to get bail, the only special treatment she should get is that she should not be put in the general population. She should be segregated until her trial date. Absolutely. That's the only special treatment she should get. Because I understand not guilty, you know, the presumption of guilt. I understand that. However, We know she was the one that pulled the trigger because didn't nobody shoot but her. So we know that part. We know that she is legally responsible for this man's death. We know that much. Now she still has a trial to go through, but until then, she needs to. If she gets bail, whatever it is, it needs to be a very high amount. The optics need to remain clear. There should be no room for ambiguity in this handling of this case. None. Because if there is, you're only going to constantly incense people to be angry and to feel like you're giving people special treatment. So we really don't need that. Really don't need that. Amen. Let's keep going. So in Charlotte, so that's the recent update for Tulsa. In Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the things that we saw is that they are on a curfew. They are on a curfew in Charlotte. The curfew is basically because in Charlotte, the riots have people are tearing up downtown Charlotte. So they have issued a curfew, and part of that curfew is that the National Guard is there. The National Guard is there, and you know it's one of those things where you got to do what you got to do. So the curfew is this. It's from midnight to 6 a.m. From midnight to 6 a.m. I want my people in Chicago to really hear this. From midnight to 6 a.m. Because people keep calling for, for peace in the city. And I've heard people say we need the National Guard here in the city. Well, curfew is from midnight to 6 a.m. Can I make a comment? A lot of the shootings, at least in the Austin area, don't even happen at night. They happen in broad daylight, middle of the day. So you want National Guard to do what here in the city? You want them to do what here in the city? What exactly do you want the National Guard to do? And I bring that up because I want to transition to the shooting that did happen in Charlotte and what's been found out so far. What's been found out so far is that the family has seen the videotape. The family has seen the videotape. The family has seen the body camera tape. They've seen the tape from the car. They've seen tapes from all the other areas. They have seen the videotape. And the police chief has said that what's going to happen is that he's going to allow the family to see the tape, but he's not going to release the tape to the public until the case is closed. And I believe he did say this. He says the one thing he did see on the tape was that there was that at no time did he see the gun. He did say he saw a gun. But at no time did he see the person holding the gun point the gun at the police. At no time was the gun raised toward the police. So it's something to think about. As I said before, the shooting in Charlotte still has an air of there's still an air of misinformation that's floating around. So until we get all the facts, we need to chill. Now, mind you, in Charlotte, there's been a whole lot of stuff that has happened with unlawful shootings. So I believe this protest is what you're seeing is not necessarily for the shooting of Mr. Scott, but it's more about the other shootings that have taken place and the appearance of no justice. The email. Let's see here. We got an email. Email says, this was for yesterday. Apparently there was a meet and greet yesterday. There's another one. Public safety meeting. Okay, got you. Okay, so there's several of these. All right, thank you. All right, so let's see what it says. Email says community meeting. One was Wednesday at 6 p.m. In Rutherford Park. Okay, so let me skip that one. That's no good. Public safety meeting here in Chicago. Please join me. Move out of the way. Thank you. In discussing safety in the North Austin neighborhood, we'll specifically discuss safety, security, and law enforcement in the areas from Central Avenue to Mobile and North Avenue to Cortland. Commander Escamilli of the 25th District will be joining us. This is September 23rd. This is today at 6 o'clock. Wow. Today at 6 o'clock. So, hey, Alderman Chris Taliaferro will be there at 6 p.m. This is good information. This is good information to have. Definitely want to make sure if you're in that area, if you're in that part of Austin community, you should probably be there. Definitely be there. 6 o'clock tonight, 555 West Grand, 25th District Police Station, 555 West Grand. That's the one that's right as you're going over the hill over there on Central. Thank you so much. Who sent that email? Let's see. Hey! Oh, that's my other mama sent that. How you doing? Miss Ma'am, Miss Mama, Miss McCurtis. Anyway, so yeah, y'all keep that. Y'all keep looking. Keep your eye on the stuff that's going on. It's necessary that you know what's going on in the city and in your areas. But look, y'all. Hey, look. It is Praise Break Friday, right? It's Praise Break Friday, and I want to get into this article because this article is really, really good. And this is what I need y'all to do. If you haven't done so already, share this post. If you're watching on Facebook Live, share the video. Go down to the little button on your phone or hit share or swipe to the left or the right, hit share, and share the video. If you know some church folk you go to church with, share it with them. Tag people in the video because this article is going to be good. You want folks to know. Tag your pastor in this video if you want to. Don't feel bad about it. Tag your pastor in the video. Go ahead and tag him. Tag your preacher friends. Tag all of them. Now, those of you all who are friends with me, you ain't got to tag me in the video, okay, because I'm already in the video. But tag your friends real quick because this article is about to be really, really good, and I don't want y'all to miss this thing. 12 strange ways people pray. 12 strange ways people pray. This is going to be good, and I want to make sure y'all do that. So please share this. I'm going to put the article up there for y'all. Make sure y'all got it on your own over there. And then we're going to get the article over here for y'all to make sure you got it over here on the Ustream. We're going to make sure y'all got it too. All right. Yep. There we go on the stream. All right. Y'all got the article. There it is. Boom. All right. So look, y'all, we're going to take a quick praise break, right? When we come back, we're going to jump right on into this article. I just want to hear my man talk. You know, it's something about a preacher and the right amount of chords put behind him. When it get good to him, sometimes you just have to let something go. Sometimes, my God, I just love it. But we're going to go ahead and we're just going to let one just go for a hot minute. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Hey! Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now because of your praise. God said, I just turned it around for you. And I know it's tight where you are. But if you believe God's going to turn it around, get up out of your seat and turn around one time and say, God has already fixed it. God has already turned it around. Woo!
My. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Y'all just got to come on in here. Come on in here. Now, y'all press on in. Now, did y'all share the stuff? Come on. Y'all share it. Come on, share it. Whew, let's go. This is good. It's entitled 12 strange rays. Let me catch myself. Cause see, let me tell y'all about something. See, we have this thing, right? Let me tell. Can I give y'all a little inside information about the show? I'm gonna give y'all a little inside information. So we have this thing, right? Cause a lot of times on this show, over the last 2 years, a lot of words get mispronounced. I'm giving y'all some information on the show, right? And not only on the show, but there are some people who watch the show, friends of the show, you know. So we always catch each other. So now so what happens is when something is mispronounced, which happens quite often, if something is mispronounced, there are some inside jokes that go on about the word and you know, and so, and I'm real quick to catch other people. So see, but when they catch me, it's like they won a contest or something. So so I had to catch myself so that way they don't get to come back later on and tell me they caught me. So, you know, I had to. So anyway, it's some fun behind the scenes stuff. I just wanted to let y'all know that goes on with this show. We need to get like a blooper reel. That's what we really need. We need to get like a blooper reel that we can have for y'all at the end of the year with all of the mispronounced words. Some of them I can't share with y'all because they must remain inside, because the amount of laughter that they cause me personally is just amazing. And I just refuse to share that with the people. Anyhow, let's keep it moving. 12 strange ways we pray. 12 strange ways we pray. This is good, y'all. This is going to be good. Hopefully everybody is ready. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready over here? Let me see. Yep, we ready on that side. Let me move you out to here. Let's put that over here like that. Yep, let's move that right there. Okay, and then we're going to put the Ustream over here in that little box right there. Yep, all right, now we're good. Now we're good. Everybody's good. I can see everybody. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Come on, y'all don't help me. Y'all don't want to help me. I know. It's okay. Let's go. The writer is Chuck Lawless. We've used him before. It's on churchleaders.com. It's under the section for pastors and articles for pastors. 12 strange ways we pray. This is good. The writer says this, just thinking out loud about some strange ways that many Christians pray. Now, I'm sure some of you all, I'm just going to talk real quick. Some of you all have been to prayer meetings and you've seen all types of different ways to pray. If you've ever been inside a black church, you know, don't nobody pray like folks in a black Baptist church. You know, in the black Baptist church, we are some praying individuals. So can't nobody pray like Baptist folk in the black Baptist church. Y'all know that? Y'all know it to be true. You know it to be true. So let's just go. This is what he says. Number one, he says, we pray only when we have to. If we face a high mountain, we'll climb it as far as we can. When we simply must pray, we turn to God. We try to fix first and pray second. Now, you know what? Let me say this. This is the absolute truth. How many times do we not wait to go to God until after all hell done broke loose? How many times are we hesitating and waiting for God and we don't talk to him or include him in our plans until after all hell is broken loose? The Bible said we should pray daily. But the question is, and I often wonder why some of us are in so much turmoil and there's so much confusion. And there's so much lack of understanding. I wonder, is it because we don't pray until we seek understanding? How about you just pray just to pray? You know, let me give you an example. You know how y'all send text messages, and sometimes you send a text message just saying, hey, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? You know, just as easy, you pick up a phone and go, and you send a text message, or you pick up the phone and call and say, hey. What you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, what you up to? In the same amount of time you did that, you could be sitting down talking to God and say, hey, God, just want you to know I'm here and that I love you, that I appreciate you, and that, God, I ain't down on my knees to ask you for nothing. I'm just down here to speak to you for a hot minute. I had a free moment, Lord, and I thought I would give it to you. If we had that kind, think about the type of how much better your prayer life would be if you checked in on God like you checked in on people. Woo! I had to get up out of my own seat for that. If we checked in on God like we checked in on people, what kind of prayer life would we actually have? Oh, my God. If we invited God in like we invite folks in. What if you prayed every time you checked your Facebook timeline? What if you made this deal with yourself? Oh, my God. Watch this. Every time I pick up my cell phone, as soon as I put it down, I'm going to pray. What if you did that? What if every time you picked up your cell phone, we'd be some praying folk throughout this country. Oh, my God, we would be some praying folk if we did that. Oh, if we did that, we'd be some praying folk. My. Y'all know it's the truth. Come on. Let's keep going. Number two. We pray for families only when we hear there is a problem. Wow. We pray for families only when we hear it's a problem. Y'all see that? So then he says, maybe, just maybe, our families would be healthier if we prayed for each other before the problems developed. These are many sermons right now, because this is preaching to me. I don't know about you, but this is saying something to my spirit right now. How about you pray for your family before they fall apart? Oh, my Lord. My. And then not just your family, but watch this. I'm going to talk to the folk in the church. A lot of times, you don't pray, and if you're honest, if you're honest with yourself, when the pastor or the preacher stands up and says, brother so-and-so is in the hospital and he needs prayer. Brother so-and-so is in the hospital and he needs prayer. It's wonderful that we're going to all stand and pray for him right then. But the real question that we should ask ourselves is, before you were told to pray for the sick and the shut-in, were you already praying for them before they ended up on the sick and the shut-in list? I'm talking to myself. I ain't pointing the finger at y'all. If I point one or two, it's some pointing back at me. I'm just asking a question. Did you pray for them prior to them? Had you ever prayed for them before? Because I would not be surprised. Thank God, God is not like man. Because, see, if God was like man, it would go a little something like this. You know, we in church and the pastor says we're going to pray for Sister So-and-so who just had surgery. She was in an accident and she had to have some surgery, and we're going to pray. Let us all stand and come to the altar and pray for Sister So-and-so. Now, mind you, some in that crowd have already prayed for Sister So-and-so and had been praying for her before she ever got sick. Before she's ever acted. But then I'm thinking about the ones who had never prayed for her before. If God was like man, the conversation would go a little bit like this. Lord, I come right now, God, knee bowed and body bent on behalf of Sister So-and-so. God would then say, pause right there. Hold on. Who are you? And you praying to me for who? I ain't never heard you mention that woman's name before in any good terms. But now you standing at the altar praying for her. You didn't pray for her when you were you praying for her when you was gossiping about her? My God. Were you praying for her when you saw her struggling with her children? Were you praying for her? I'm not saying God ain't hearing your prayer. I'm just saying if God was like man, thank God he's not. But you know, we got a funny way and a funny time frame of praying for folk, I'm getting an amen or two. I see some thumbs up on the Facebook. So I must be on somebody's street. I'm just saying, if we praying for folk, It should not happen that we decide to pray for the family. It shouldn't happen that we decide to start praying for the families of these people when we all of a sudden see them in disarray. How about the fact that you see them coming to church as a family every week? You ought to just pray. You ought to thank God for them for that. How about you thank God that he brought a new family to the church? But then you want to know why folks, come on, I ain't got time. I could stay right there for five more minutes. My God. Number three. Let me get this one out. Number three, we pray for young people only after they're wondering. He says, same deal as number two above. Perhaps things would be different if we prayed for our youth proactively. Yeah. Wonder what would happen if we were actively praying for our young folks. But then you got the nerve to pray to God to send you some young folk. We got the nerve to pray, Lord, send us some young people. God, send us some young adults. Lord, send us some millennials. Are you praying for them before they get there? That's my question. Don't pray that God send them to you. Just pray for them. Just pray for them. Because if your prayers are legit, if your prayers are righteous, God will send them to the very locations that the prayer came from. But if you just saying, Lord, please send us some people. Come on, church. If you just saying, Lord, send us some people to help pay the bills, I'm going to go so far as to say you might as well keep that prayer to yourself. If you just praying for God to send some folk just to help you pay the bills, then you might as well keep that prayer to yourself. Lord, send us somebody who got a good job and who can pay some tithes. Really? You might as well say, Lord, bless these $2 that I'm about to go spend at the lotto and so I can put some money in the church. You might as well say that. Because in the end, you don't care nothing about the people. Because watch this. If you can fix your mouth to say we need some people so we can help pay the bills, what would then happen is if all of a sudden you could pay the bills, would you then stop asking God to send people? I don't hear nobody but the birds chirp. Tanya, where you at? We need some I need some birds chirping soundtrack. I need a bird chirping soundtrack on this thing. Because see, we got a bad habit of praying for stuff after the fact. Where is the proactive prayers? Where are the proactive prayers? You know, it's kind of like when you were a kid and your grandmother or your mother made you pray. You know, you had to kneel before you go to bed. The whole, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Y'all said it. Y'all know that prayer, right? Okay. So you as a kid, you really didn't know what you were doing. But you just prayed whatever you, that's what your grandmama told you to pray. That's what your mama said pray. Excuse me. That's what you prayed. But now as an adult, are you proactively praying for people just because? Are you praying for the people in your church, even the ones you don't talk to? Don't wait until you get a catastrophic announcement saying brother so-and-so was in a bad car accident or sister so-and-so was in a car accident and we gonna stand in the need of prayer. Have you prayed for them prior to the accident? And again, I ain't pointing the finger at y'all because it applies to me too. Because I read this thing and I'm going to tell you right now, guilt filled the room. You know how the Bible says, and his glory filled the temple. His Shekinah glory. When I read this article, guilt filled the room. Because see, I can pray for you when you're sick. I can pray for you when you're going through something. But the question is, am I praying for you just because I should be praying for you? My. Oh, Lord. Come on, Dana. Let me get to number four. Again, we're talking about 12 12 strange ways that Christians pray. Number four, we pray about temptation most often after we've lost the battle. My. He says we pray about temptation most often after we've lost the battle. This is what he says. He says that's precisely the opposite way of how Jesus taught us to pray. Where he says, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can I talk about the Lord? Can I talk about the disciples' prayer for a minute? This is why teaching on prayer is so important. And if you're going to teach somebody about prayer, we first need to teach people what prayer is. And the Lord's what we know in the church, what we've been taught in the Baptist church, what they've been taught in the Apostolic church and the Church of God in Christ and the Methodist church, and all, what we were taught for years was that this prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, we've called that thing the Lord's Prayer. And I'll say this again, and I'll say it, and I'll keep saying it. That version of prayer that we pray is not the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is not. I'll say it again and again and again. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It is the disciples' prayer. It is Jesus' way of teaching the disciples when you pray. He was putting it in a way that they could understand. Make sure your prayer is like this. Make sure that you're asking God, like he says, lead us not into temptation. What that's simply saying is when you pray, God, on today, while I'm out in the street, God, please keep all things that would tempt me away from me. Keep anything that would separate me from you away from me as I go out into the world on today. That's what Jesus was saying. That is not the Lord's Prayer. I know we've been taught that way for the longest, but this is why the Bible says study to show thyself. y'all ain't got to believe me. If you go to John 17, y'all can do this after the show. John 17, you will start to read the actual Lord's Prayer. The actual Lord's Prayer. You'll see it right there. That's the actual Lord's Prayer. So I just want you to know that. But I love this part of the article because he says we pray about temptation after we've already lost. But if you were praying the right prayer ahead of time, or praying in the right fashion ahead of time, where he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So in your prayer, when you get up in the morning, if you're one of those who prays in the morning, when you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, thank you, God, for allowing me to see another day. God, as I go about my day, please keep all hurt, harm, and danger away from myself and my loved ones. God, keep anything that would tempt me away from you, away from me, anything that would separate me from you, keep it away from me. That's you praying about temptation before it even gets to you. Huh? What if we did that? Maybe we would encounter a little less temptation if we prayed about it beforehand. Because, see, a lot of times we come praying after and we're saying, oh, Lord, I messed up. Now, I'm not telling you you can't pray for forgiveness. But what I'm saying is if we prayed about the temptation ahead of time, there would probably be less need for prayers of forgiveness. That'll hit somebody on the way. That'll hit y'all before the show. Come on. Number five. Now, let me say this. I found this article yesterday. I only read a few points. I know I have people listening who are going to take this a certain kind of way. And you know what? Go right ahead. I'm going to read number five. Number five says, we pray for new pastors until we get them. Nothing happened to your phone or your listening device. That was me picking myself up off the floor. We pray for new pastors until we get them. Let me just give my whole plea. ain't nobody else gonna clap. Let me just do it again. We pray for new pastors until we get them. This is what the writer says. The writer says, sure, we pray for the search committee or the board as they seek new pastors. He says, I hope we pray while new pastors are in transition. When they get settled, though we too often forget to pray until there's an issue. I could go home right now. I could give the benediction right now. We could get a benediction right now. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. we can get a benediction right now. Because I just want to come on now. Come on now. You want to have prayer to get a new pastor, but are you going to pray to keep him? Are you going to pray that God softens your hard head to follow him? Or are you going to pray that God softens your heart to be led? Huh? Come on, church. Don't miss this. Are you going to pray that you're able to accept chastisement, correction, and accountability when it comes? Are you going to pray that prayer? Because see, we can pray, oh, Lord, we need a pastor. Lord, send us a pastor. Lord, give us pastors after your own heart. Lord, send us this and that. Oh, but when they get here. My. Oh, but when they get here, and after the honeymoon season is over, you know, after about the first year or so, and after you realize that they put their pants on or they skirt on just like you, after you realize that they either stand up at the toilet or sit down on it just like you, after you realize that they no longer can't walk on water, that they blow their nose and wipe their behind just like you, then all of a sudden, now you ain't praying no more. Oh, now you praying. Now your prayer for the new pastor turns into this: God, please fix the pastor. God, please fix the pastor. God, help our church. God, I don't know what's wrong with him, but do something. God, please hear my cry. But you ain't prayed not one time to fix you in the process. Ooh, Jesus. I need to print this out and just lay this. Let me be quiet before I say the wrong thing. We really need to pray this. Is Lisa, Sister King, I'm going to go and get in trouble. Might as well. I stay in there anyway. We need to print this one and just put this in the bulletin on Sunday. Let me move on. I had to do it, y'all. Pray for me. I know they're gonna put a lock on the door up here. Let's move on. Let's move on. Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Number six. We pray for dating couples until they get married. Ooh, Jesus. My. We pray for dating couples until they get married. Let me read this one. He says, we want them to have God's wisdom as they consider dating, engagement, and marriage. Once they get married, though, at a time of adjustment, when they may most need prayer, we again need to revert to number two. Can I talk about it? See, when folk come and you hear they having some problems, that ain't when you should have been praying. You should have been praying when folks said they was getting married. You should have been praying when they said they were dating. You should have been praying during the wedding. You should have been praying after the wedding. This is what I told. I'll share this with y'all because it ain't breaking no confidence. But this is what I told. I've married two couples. And this is what I told both couples. I said, my job with you two does not end after you say I do. That's what I told them. My job with you does not end after you say I do. Because I sat with you and we had meetings and we had conversations ahead of time before we got up to the altar. And afterwards, that's when the real job kicks in. Because any trained monkey can sit there and read wedding vows and have folk repeat them. That's easy to do. The real work comes is when one of the people you marry calls you and says, hey, we need to sit down and have a conversation. or we just need to talk, or can you just come and sit with us and pray with us and have a conversation with us? That's when the real work starts. So you can't, now mind you, yes, you pray for them while they're married. But it needs to be a continuous thing. And it's unfortunate, so many pastors don't check in on the people that they marry. So many ministers and preachers don't check in on the people that they marry. That's why it's important that you meet with these couples ahead of time. You're not going to find out everything because they got to, you know, they have to warm up to you. But you need to meet with people ahead of time to find out, okay, y'all going to be all right. Because as someone coming in from the outside, you're going to ask questions that neither one of them would have thought to ask each other. You bring stuff to the table. It's necessary to have these conversations. Other couples. You see a young couple get married, you ought to be praying for them. You see a young couple get engaged, you ought to be praying for them. It's a part of the process. But unfortunately in the church, we don't start the prayer process until we hear or rumor hits us that all hell has broken loose. Because truth be told, if we were praying for couples and we were praying fervently for couples and couples were praying and having conversations, you'd probably have a whole lot less folk getting married because prayer would have revealed some stuff. Ah, my God. Prayer would have revealed some things to some folk and let them know, you know what, this might not be a good idea. Let me move to number 7. Yeah, my God. Say something. Say something if you want to. Let me move to number 7. The writer says, and again, we're talking about 12 strange ways we pray. Number 7. Here we go. We pray for non-believers until they become believers. We pray for non-believers until they become believers. This is what he says. We intercede for them while the Spirit is wooing them. Once they follow Christ, though, we often slack in our praying. And that's when the spiritual battle is first intense for new believers. Can we pause right there? Let me ask y'all this question, especially those of you who belong to a church. Just think in your head for a moment, how many people you have witnessed come to Christ, either as a new member, as candidate for baptism, or as a member of your church. Just if you can in your brain cells, just remember how many folk you've seen in the last 9 months walk down the aisle of your church and give their lives over to Christ or become a member of your congregation. Okay. You got the number in your head? Got it? Okay, now, you were excited when they walked down the aisle. You clapped. You might have shouted hallelujah. You might have prayed or that. Here is the magic question. How many times have you prayed for them since that day? We have a few minutes. I don't hear nobody. How many times have you prayed for them since that day? I told y'all, when I read this article last night, guilt, G-U-I-L-T, let me use another word, conviction, C-O-N-V-I-C-T-I-O-N, conviction, fill the room. Huh? How many times have you prayed? But you want to know, where are the new members at that joint? Have you prayed for them? My God. Have you prayed for them since they walked down your aisle? Have you prayed for them? Matter of fact, after they joined, did you even go up and introduce yourself? Did you offer your services as a prayer partner? Oh, my God. That's necessary. You didn't know that, but I'm gonna give you a little insight on something. That's necessary. I don't think a person should join a church, and a member of the church should not instantly become that person's prayer partner. If you need anything, I'm your liaison. We can talk. That's just me. That's just me. You want to know how to keep in, you want to know how to keep in touch with your members when they join? They get a, see, groups work, but I ain't gonna get into all that. They work when that when they're done properly. They work when they're done properly. But even if you assign them to a group, even in that group, somebody in the group ought to be assigned to that person. That way, that person does not fall between the cracks. So if you, so that means you're liable to get one, to, you're liable to get maybe 6 or 7 people a year. 6 or 7 people a year you're liable to get. That's not a lot to be, that's not a lot to be responsible for as an individual. Just to say, hey, here's my number. Something, you know, we can, let me pray with you. Let's set a day that we can pray together over the phone. Or let's set a day we can go out and I can introduce you to my family. You can introduce me to yours and we can find out what, you know, what's going on and all that kind of stuff. But don't, but see, we wait until they disappear. And we want to know where they went. What happened to them? Where the members at? Have you prayed for them? Come on, come on, come on. It's all right, it's all right. Ain't nobody, in the words of Reverend Hulam, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. My. Let's keep going, let's keep going. Number eight. Woo. We pray for sister congregations only when we get word they're in trouble. My. We pray for sister congregations only when we get word they're in trouble. Let me read. The writer says this. Otherwise, we drive past multiple church buildings throughout the day without even thinking to pray for them. Wow. Now, let me say this, because this is where the conviction and the guilt comes in. Once again, I've spoken quite often about how many churches there are in the Austin community and about how many churches are lack in doing anything in the Austin community. Here's where the conviction sets in. I cannot sit here and say that I have prayed for those churches. See, I can't do this and not talk about me. I can't sit here and say that I have actively prayed for those churches. And I should have been. So not only in pointing them out for their lack of not doing anything, I also should have been praying for them that they would be, get the spirit to come out and do something. Wow. My. I just think, man, we really ought to do something different, man. We ought to do something. And praying for these other churches, pray for them. The lack of prayer might be the only thing that's holding them back. I'll take it a step further. Find out who the pastor is. Find out who the pastor is and sit down and have a conversation. Say, brother, I just want to pray for your church. My name is whatever. And I drive past your church every day and I don't know you from Adam, but you know what? I see your church. It's been there for a while. I just want to pray for your church. That might be the push that gets them outside of the four walls because they notice that you've been watching. That could be the push. My. Let's go, y'all. Let's keep going. We're almost out of time. We got 5 minutes. We should be all right. Number 9, we pray for government leaders only when we want them out. That seems a bit late to me. You're right. I will say this. I have prayed for this president a whole lot. First of all, it was mostly just praying for his safety. That was the early on prayer. But then the other prayers have not been to get him out, but the other prayers was that God would fix his heart and fix his mind. And that he would not have to keep compromising himself for purposes of legacy. That's been my prayer for him. That he does not have to continue to compromise himself for purposes of legacy. That's been my hope. So you know, it's but that's good. But we do need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our mayor. We talk about the mayor. We talk about, come on now, y'all talk about we, and I say we and y'all, us's, we have talked about Rahm Emanuel like a dog. Have we prayed for him? Have we prayed for him? And I'm gonna tell you like this here. I know this ain't gonna sound good, but we probably need to be praying for Trump, huh? And we already praying for Hillary, but we really need to be praying for Trump. You know why? Because there is a, y'all know I ain't playing. You know I ain't playing. We might need to be adding him to the prayer list. My. Because let me move to number 10. Come on, we got some time. We pray for wisdom for high school graduates, but then fail to pray for them when they go to college. He says their first year in college may be intensely challenging to their faith, but we still fail to cover them in prayer. Yeah. I think one of the things that another thing is if you have a youth ministry in your church and as they graduate, you need to make sure you have a number for them and make sure that someone in your church is keeping in contact with them to make sure that they continue to have a prayer life. Not in contact to say, hey, what the parties look like down there or what the boys look like or what the girls look like, but to have somebody from the church to have a continual prayer life with them once they are no longer in the midst of normal congregation. Because trust me, when they go away to school, they're going to encounter everything but God. Or they're going to encounter everything plus God and some other stuff. So you need to make sure that when they leave your presence, that you're maintaining someone to have some sort of a prayer life with them. And guess what? Pastors, it's just my thought. That should be your job. That should be your job. Because guess what? You ain't got that many kids going off to college. You ain't got that many, 5 or 6. You ain't got that many that you can't take a day out the week and call to say, hey, this is Pastor so-and-so. Just calling to check in on you. How things going? Good. That's good to hear. Let's pray together. And you get them involved and say, you know what? I'm calling you because I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me as your pastor. I need you to pray for me. And then I'm going to turn around and pray for you. Now they still know they have that connection. So now if temptation does present itself or something does happen, they know they can turn around and say, I'm calling my pastor or I'm calling my mentor or I'm calling somebody. Somebody needs to pray for me right now because I'm struggling. I failed a test or I got a test coming up and I need you to pray for me tomorrow. You have no idea how that would affect somebody's life. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Let's keep going. Number 11. We pray for missionaries only if they're in front of us. He says, bring them to our church and we'll cover them in prayer. Send them back to the field and we forget. My. Yeah, it's easy to pray for the folk when they packing their bags. When they packing their bags, it's easy to pray for them. But what happens when they gone for 2 weeks? Are the prayers still coming? Are we still praying for them on the altar? Are we still lifting them up on the altar? Huh? What are we doing? Or are we just ignoring them? Because now they're out of sight, out of mind. Like we did the college kids. The ones that go away to the army. Even the ones that go away to the military. You need to keep some kind of contact with them. Because they're going to encounter some things that they would have never imagined. We need to keep them. We need to keep those people covered in prayer. We got to. Again, if you're just joining us, I know you're popping in and out. I see people coming in and out of Facebook and off in and out of Ustream. Appreciate y'all watching. But we're discussing 12 strange ways people pray. Last one. Number 12. We pray for sick people, but not for well people. Oh, my Lord. We pray for sick people, but not for well people. He says, at least that's the way we operate our prayer list. Something bad has to happen to get your name on the list. Wow. I just thought, I had this thought. You know how you have a sick and a shut-in list, the prayer list, sick and shut, you know, that list? How about we just have a prayer list? Take the sick and shut-in part off. That way everybody gets prayed for. Everybody gets prayed. And the only reason you ain't on the list is because you chose not to put your name on. I don't know nobody that don't need prayer. So we should just have a prayer list. And everybody gets put on it. And you stay on it until you ask to be taken off. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even ask you to put your name on it. I would go through the church directory and add every member of the church to the prayer list. So that way we're praying for everybody all the time, sick or not, well or not, shut in or not, unemployed or not. You get prayed for. It shouldn't take being sick and shut in to get you to murmur out a 5-minute prayer. It shouldn't. My. Last one. Let's go. So then he says, that's it. He says, what do you think? What other strange ways do we pray? Man, this is good, y'all. This is good. This was all right with me. This was all right with me. I hope it blessed you because it sure enough blessed me. My, it sure enough blessed me. So look at y'all. It's been an absolute amazing time. I do want to give you a little update about something in Charlotte. I do want to give you that in Charlotte. There has been a cell phone video released in the last 10 minutes. While we're sitting here, there's been a cell phone video released of the shooting in Charlotte, and I believe it's the events that led right up to the shooting. The family of what, according to what I'm reading, is it says the family. Keith Lamont Scott releases what it says is a cell phone video that was taken by his wife moments leading up to his shooting. So there's an actual video. There's a video that is, I guess it has been released or is about to be released, that shows video leading up to the point in which he was shot. So the video is about to be released. It's about to be released or it's going to be released, but that's about to show up in a few minutes. So I'm just reading that. So we definitely want to keep Charlotte, the city of Charlotte, in our prayers. So look, man, look. It's hopefully everybody has a great weekend. I can actually say this is a slow weekend, other than bowling. Have y'all been praying? Let me ask y'all this question: have y'all been praying for the bowling team? Now I came to y'all on the other day and asked y'all to pray for the team called Just Do It. That's the name of the bowling team. Now, I'm coming to y'all because we are standing in the need of prayer. Because I don't know where our game has went, but it has left us like a rushing wind. I don't know what happened, but the strikes do not come anymore. The spares are sparingly happening, and gutters and misses are all over the place. I really need y'all to pray. Oh, Shabbat. I need y'all to pray for the bowling team. That's just me. I just thought I would help. Hey, I talked about prayer. I'm doing some preemptive praying over here, and I just thought y'all could help a brother out and pray for the bowling team. That's just me. Anyway, look, y'all, it's been an amazing show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to share it. Share the video. Even after you watched it, you can still go ahead and share it. It's a good time. It was a good time in God, and hopefully people got something out of it because it's good, man. It's good. My. Here we go. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done. We thank you for who you are in our lives, God. We thank you just for continuing to be God and continue to be the representative for us, who stands with us, God, who covers us, who protects us, who comforts us. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you for him and everything that he means to us. Now, God, we're asking for prayer for those who haven't even asked for prayer. God, we're asking for those who are doing well. We're praying for the well-doers, God. We're praying for those people, God. We're praying for members of churches, God, who we have not reached out to. God, we're praying for those members who need prayer and who have not been able to walk up to the altar. God, we're praying for those who refuse to even come into a church but still stand in the need of your presence. So, God, we're standing right now in prayer for them. God, we're praying for our elected officials, God. We're praying for those that might be elected right now. God, we're praying for anyone who seeks the office of any position right now, God, that may govern us right now, God. We're praying for every pastor who worships and works in your name right now, God. We're praying for every future pastor that may come through the door right now, God. We're praying for him, God, that you would give him or her the strength and the ability to be able to walk in your will, God, and do what it is that you had called them to do. God, we're praying for every listener right now, God. We're praying for every watcher on Ustream right now. We're praying for you, God. We're praying for every watcher on Facebook Live. We're praying for you, God. We're praying for every listener on Blog Talk Radio right now via the internet, God. We're praying for those who are listening, who called in and who are listening right now. We're even praying for those who called in and had to leave and were not able to continue listening, God. We're just offering up prayers for them right now. God, we ask that you would keep anything that would separate them from you away from them on this day. God, we're asking that you would restore them, God, that you would restore their hearts, God, that mend any broken hearts, God, mend any broken fences, God, put families back together. God, we're asking this prayer because we know you can do it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all. It's time to go. I got to go, y'all. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Went over time about almost 10 minutes, almost 10. We was doing good, but I got to go. But sometimes you just have to do some stuff. You just got to say some stuff. But look here, look here. It's time to go, and y'all be good. And look, we'll be back on Monday. Start all over again. Y'all stay blessed. Hey, look, and come here. Look, let's do this. If you're in Chicago, you ain't got nothing. You don't have a church home, come visit a brother. I'll be here. I ain't preaching, but I'll be here. You'll see me. Come holler at me. Tell the folk you sent me. Say when you come in and the usher and you fill out that little card to say you're a visitor, you're a first time visitor, you fill out that card and they say, how'd you hear about the church? Tell them that fool on the radio told me to come here. That's what you tell them. They'll know who you're talking about. You can put that on there too. I ain't gonna get mad. Say that fool on the radio told us we should stop by and say something. So you came by to do that. God bless you. Y'all stay good, man. And if like I say all the time, if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO, we out.
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on and say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful it is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler, Wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say Wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be wonderful. I don't mean to push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about three people and say, he is wonderful. Right. just do these last two songs. But somebody say, wonderful. You got to prophesy to yourself. Say, he's wonderful. Wonderful.